speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As we enter into our service this morning and begin with our lesson, I want to ask each and every one to think about how often do you think about our God? How often do you think about God each and every day? Is He a part of your thoughts? Is He a part of your lives? You know, as we think about that question, I would surmise is that there are some who seldom to never really and truly think about God. That may be, with the exception of upon the Lord's Day. That might be the only time that they are thinking about God. And yet at the same time, there would be others who are constantly thinking about God. And in that, I believe that it is most important that not only do we think about God and that we long for Jesus, but that we mindfully long for the Lord. As you think about these things, I believe that it is most important for us to realize is that there would be one individual at least, and probably others, who understood the significance of longing for the Lord. And longing for the Lord mindfully. Always thinking about our Lord. I believe that Simon Peter is one of those individuals. When you think about Simon Peter, I believe that there are times in his life where that he was very mindful of his longing for the Lord. To begin with, he was an apostle that was called by Jesus Christ. Not only do we know that he was an apostle, the Bible makes it very clear in like figure that he was a preacher of the gospel, and then also is that he was an elder in the Lord's church. And as you think about this man and his mindfully longing for the Lord, I believe that we find that he was mindfully longing for the Lord. And when we think about the characteristics of this man in the onset of his work with Jesus. To begin with, whenever Jesus is questioning him and the other apostles about the kingdom of God, he identifies in regard to Jesus that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based out of that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And on this confession, he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." I believe that this shows is that Peter, at this stage in his life, he was mindfully longing for the Lord. He was constantly thinking about our God. Also, I believe that there are other segments in this man's life where that it is very obvious that he was focused fully upon God. But there are also times in his life where that he was not. When he denied the Lord three times, I believe that he had lost his focus in longfully, mindfully longing for the Lord. But also I believe that this is true whenever after Jesus has been resurrected from the grave and when Paul withstands him from the face. And the reason that Paul rebuked Simon Peter is because he was playing a hypocrite. He was being warm and welcoming of the Gentiles so long as the Jews were not around. Galatians chapter 2. But whenever the Jews came around, then he would shun the Gentiles. And Paul rebuked him for such, and rightfully so. And I believe that during that time frame, this man, Simon Peter, was not mindfully longing for the Lord. Thankfully, from what I read in Scripture, he finally got it right. He finally came to a point where that he was constantly thinking about God and living for God, doing all that he could to the glory and honor of our God. And God spoke through this man, Simon Peter, on at least two different occasions in his epistles that are given by him. On the PowerPoint, it says 1 Peter. It actually should say 2 Peter chapter 3 because that's our context that we're coming out of. And as the Apostle Peter is writing these epistles by way of inspiration, he is encouraging his readers to remember certain things. To begin with, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 2, he wanted them to remember what they had been taught. He has identified in regard to the importance of them recalling constantly the things that he had taught them, as well as things that other people had taught them that was relevant to our God and their relationship with our God. And friends, as Peter is mentioning these things in chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 2, it's not the first thing that he has said in regard to them remembering what God has said to them. He reminded them that they had been given all things by divine inspiration pertaining to life and unto godliness. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You go over to verse 21, he identifies as that they had been taught everything that God expected mankind to know about the truth of our God, as well as about the truth of salvation. And he also identified later on in the context of chapter 1, is that the things that they had been taught, that these things came to them by way of the prophets who had been carried about by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as Peter is wanting these people to remember the things that they had been taught, he's wanting them to realize the source behind the message. He wants them to understand that the things that he's calling upon them to remember is that these things pertain to the will of our God. But friends, also, he wanted them to remember that Jesus Christ is coming again. From this context, Peter warns them about false teachers. And now that these false teachers had willingly neglected to accept the evidence that God had given of Himself as well as of the return of Jesus. And the false teachers in this time, they were projecting that Jesus is not going to come. And the reason that they were saying that Jesus is not going to come is because year after year had gone since His death upon the cross and there had not been any return. And it's interesting in this context is that Peter refutes that by saying, remember God who created all things? This same God who created all things, He also has the power to return His Son back into this world. He identifies that, remember God in the days of Noah, how that God waited in the days of Noah, that is where that few, eight souls would be saved. He says this same God is patient today, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. He identifies that, you know, because Jesus has not come does not mean that He's not coming, but rather is that this shows the love of God. It shows the patience of God and the scope of God's desire for all to come unto repentance. And therefore, Peter is showing them very clearly is that you need to be thankful that God has not come to this point, but rather that He is patient and that He is loving and that this affords others an opportunity and time to turn unto the Lord. As these false teachers were saying these things about Jesus, they were also saying is that evidently the world was going to go on forever. And in all of this, he reminds them about the final destruction and how that God used this universal flood to destroy the world in the days of Noah. And this same God is the God that we serve today, that they were serving back then. And that God, if He was able to accomplish those things then, is that God is still going to be able to accomplish things today. And the fact that God still allowed at that time and even into this day allows the world to stand is not any indication that it's going to stand forever. But what it shows is that God does not count time as we count time. Peter asserts in this context of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and verse 9, is that the day of the Lord, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. He says God does not look at time the way in which we look at time. We look at time from a world standpoint, and God looks at time from eternity. And therefore, he goes on in this context to reveal unto them, Jesus is not only coming back, but whenever Jesus Christ returns, that's going to be the end of the earth. The earth is going to melt with fervent heat. And what he's saying unto these individuals to whom he's writing, and that message still resonates to us today, is that if you're buying into the world, don't buy into the world. Because a time will come that this world will be no more. When Jesus Christ returns, we're going to be resurrected, those who are in the grave, those who remain and who are alive. They shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we will not have anything else to do with this earth. Why? Because this earth was only put into place as a temporary place for man to abide in the flesh. And whenever Jesus returns, there's no longer a need for this physical, fleshly world. to be a part of God's plan. And therefore He says that the earth will melt with fervent heat. And therefore He wanted these people also to remember the Lord's patience. Friends, that's a message that also needs to be taught time and time again today. Is that God is patient with us because He does not want anyone to perish. He's patient with us as Christians whenever we mess up our lives, because He wants us to get it, and He wants us to turn our lives around and to live faithful before Him before Jesus returns. And that's a part of the patience of God. But also God wants us to understand is that He's patient with those who are alien sinners in the world, not wanting for them to perish, but that they would all come into repentance. And therefore, I want us to understand is that there is an angle of this lesson today that needs to be pushed in the realm of evangelism. Is that while God is patient, someday His patience will wear out. And therefore, you and I need to realize the role and responsibilities that we have, that God has invested in us, to go out and to help bring the lost and dying unto the Christ before it is eternally too late. So I ask, as I believe that Peter was asking these individuals, are you mindfully longing for the Lord? He shows them reasons in this context why they need to mindfully long for the Lord. And friends, today it is so important, it is imperative, most important for you and me every single day of our life to mindfully long for the Lord, to constantly be thinking of our God and what He wants us to do. We ought to long for Jesus as His faithful disciples. Every moment of our life, we should never forget who it is that we are and who that we represent. Every single day of our life, while we are blessed to be able to be a part of this world, I believe that it is important daily is that we ought to be thinking about God, and that we ought to be mindfully thankful for what it is that God does for us in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And somebody might say, well, Kevin, I think of that whenever I first get up. But to be honest with you, whenever I get involved at work or whenever I get involved at school, my mind is occupied by that. And somebody might say, and rightfully so, I operate a piece of big machinery and therefore I need to concentrate on what I'm doing, or I might lose a finger, or I might lose a hand, or I might mess up the product of the people that has hired me to do the job. And friends, I'm not asking us to sever a limb, or to mess up and to lose our job or something. But every single day, multiple times in and throughout the course of each day, we ought to be thinking about our God and thankful to our God for the blessings that He has and that He continually bestows upon us in this world, but especially because of what we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are to long for Jesus mindfully in our daily lives. And so many times I fear that we do not do that as what we ought to. And therefore I want in this lesson this morning to encourage us to constantly be longing for the Lord, to mindfully, and whenever I say mindfully, I'm saying that we wrap our minds around the sole purpose, the ultimate reason why we are here. And I fear that sometimes we are like Solomon, Solomon didn't get it until the end, if you would, of his life. And I know that the older that I'm getting, the more that I realize the importance of me as a Christian and as a gospel preacher and as an elder in the church to mindfully long for the Lord and to think about God each and every day. But Solomon allowed his life to be filled up with women and allowed his life to be filled up with possessions, allowed his life to be filled up with all kinds of worldliness. And if you read from the book of Ecclesiastes, he identifies himself there that vanity of vanity, says the preacher. And what he is dealing with in that context is he's looking back over the course of his life and he says, with all these women that have allowed to come into my life, and he says, those women were worldly and ungodly. He says, with all of the possessions that I've been able to acquire, with all the kingdom that I've been able to rule over, he says, reflecting upon those things, I see vanity. He had sought after vain things, things that were empty and worthless, useless in the eternal realm. In his last few words in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 through verse 14, says this, and this is paraphrased. He says, "For the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is all. This is man's all." And as I look about what Solomon says there in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, I see a man who finally was mindfully longing for the Lord. And I started with Peter, and I say that I also see that with Peter, a man who messed up time and time again because there were segments in his life where he didn't mindfully long for the Lord. But then finally he got it. And the older you get, I trust that maybe you're like me, you're getting it. The younger you are, kids, don't wait until you get to be our age to let those things click. Mindfully long for the Lord today. Mindfully, each and every day, think about our God. You say, "Kevin, what are you saying?" We need to long for our minds and our lives to be like Jesus. And when we mindfully long for the Lord in this same level, then I believe that we will have our minds being transformed. Not being conformed to the world, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, but rather being transformed. Transformed into Christ's likeness. Transformed into New Testament Christianity. Transformed into a Christian that will stand no matter what it is that we face, is that we will not fall to the temptations that Satan has. We will no longer live by the standards of the world, but rather we're going to embrace the standards of God. Why? Because we've taken a vow to God, is that I'm not going to be conformed, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And somebody might say, "Well, what's the importance of getting our minds wrapped around Jesus?" Friends, whatever our minds are wrapped around is what our lives are wrapped around. Would you agree with that? Whatever our minds are wrapped around, that's what our lives are wrapped around. If our minds are wrapped around this world, then our minds are going to be about this world. If our minds are wrapped around God, then our minds are going to be wrapped around the things that are going to be pleasing to God. And our lives are going to be centered in and around the world if we're thinking about the world. But if we're thinking about God, then our lives ought to be centered in and around God. I had a sister in Christ, and I won't mention her name for embarrassment reasons this morning, but she told me that she got up at 6 o'clock at a phone call to take another sister to Murfreesboro for her mother's surgery. And to that I say, amen. What a blessing. And that's showing that our minds are wrapped around God. I mentioned that there is an angle of evangelism to this lesson, is that God is long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come into repentance. And really and truly, do we believe that we want the church to grow? Are we concerned about the lost and dying world as what God is? Or do we go out and do our own things and pay little or no attention to helping the body to grow? I had somebody tell me this week that someone said about the church here and elsewhere is that the church is just losing numbers. The church is dying. And the person who told me that, they texted me and were telling me this. And I wanted so much to say, "Well, did you ask that person what they're doing about trying to help the church to grow?" Do we mindfully long for the Lord? Do we mindfully serve the Lord each and every day? And if not, why not? And what do we need to do in order to do those things? You see, it's a personal thing in part, is that we need to go back and we need to examine ourselves and to say, "Am I doing that? And if I'm not doing that, I need to do that. And how am I going to be able to do that?" There are so many opportunities with the church And those opportunities need to be filled with the church doing the things that God expects and serving the way that God wants us to serve. You see the message that Peter portrayed to those individuals, to the readers who were giving, to whom he was giving this message. He wanted them to be so committed to the Lord is that those false teachers, they wouldn't stand a chance in pulling them away. And friends, that same message is here today. Don't let anyone or anything pull you away from God, because I want you to be mindfully longing for the Lord and serving God to the fullest of your capabilities each and every day. Today's lesson has been about serving God as a Christian, but the invitation is always open for those to become Christians as well. If you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come.